journalist, TV producer, novelist, and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Well, I believe it's never really been compared to Jesus, but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? How are you, Ian?
Good morning, I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, well, obviously somebody who walks on water is not John Carver, even though his initials are JC. What happened? I mean, you can't afford, after the result of the Manchester Derby, to actually have a situation where, you know, you don't take maximum points from Liverpool and lose 2-0. What's going on with your man?
Not a lot.
Oh, dear.
And nor will it until Mr. Ashley goes.
It's my humble opinion. It's the same old refrain. You'll miss
interesting
it
on Sunday, time. Though, because there's a, finally they have, instead of shouting Pardew out, now Pardew's gone, the fans have realised it had really nothing to do with him. So they're now shouting Ashley out and are going to have a boycott. So it'll be interesting to see on television how many empty seats there are.
Well, there we are. Maybe they should all go to see what Reading will be doing on Saturday when they actually play against Arsenal. Interesting that Jared hasn't turned up to actually sort of fight his cause and that sort of things. But of course, I know. Will you be heading back to Reading, or will you be watching
it
in Lincoln?
No, unfortunately, I'm such a busy bee, I have to stay here. Right. But my my brother and my dad are both going to be at Wembley, so I don't know how hopeful they are. But
no, I'd be highly unhopeful. But
they get to go to Wembley anyway.
So. Have you ever been to Wembley?
I have actually. I've been for an under-21s football match. Oh, actually, I have seen Reading at Wembley as well when we were in the playoffs against Swansea.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. It didn't end very well.
you get used to that.
But I did go for that, and then I've been for a few concerts at Wembley as well. Right. So it's a fantastic stadium.
I went to Wembley in the mid-70s when Newcastle lost to Liverpool, and I was working in Manchester, and the Sports and the Daily Mail got me a ticket, which was actually in the halfway line, but surrounded by Liverpool supporters, and I found myself sitting back next to one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. And anyway, she heard my accent and started talking to me, and when Liverpool scored the first goal, this gnarled old man sitting in front of her with a greasy cap got up and gave her a huge kiss. It was really pretty, anyway, devastating. And she turned around to me and says, "Oh, I don't know what he'll do when we win the cup." So that was the only cheery thing that happened to me the whole day.
Aww. Well, at least that cheered you up anyway.
Yes.
Were you all right being surrounded by Liverpool supporters?
Oh, yeah. I've always gone... Liverpool supporters like Geordies with funny accents. They're similar to us. I think there's a sort of port culture that exists among cities. And the people who live in ports are more cosmopolitan in a way, because they're used to sort of all different nations and things coming together. And they always have a sense of humour, I think. There's a difference about people who live in cities that are actually on rivers and ports. To others, I think.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm sure some sociologists would ring in to contradict me, but never mind.
Yeah, there'll be some statistics behind
this.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah. But anyway, yes, and I've always admired the Liverpool supporters. If they think something's wrong, they'll fight. And
Newcastle United ones won't, has it?
Well, they haven't at the moment. There's this sort of like almost funereal sort of atmosphere in the ground at times now.
And you're the 19th richest club in the world. You should be quite happy
about
that. Yes,
and the eighth, I think the eighth best supporter club in the world.
Well, there we are. So what's not to appreciate? Yeah,
well, the team that doesn't win anything. It's now become a team that doesn't want to win anything.
You had a couple of failed attempts in the 1990s, and of course you won the first cup in 1969. What more do you want, really?
Okay.
I just hold fire on the whole thing because clearly we having our own challenges in the Etihad Stadium. But that's by the by.
Oh, yes, Mr. Klopp his figure's looming large now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Well, he'd be there for a couple of years. We'll see.
How has the financial fair play restrictions affected City? Because
very badly.
Are you actually being brought back in the real world, have you? Yes.
Don't talk to me about reality. That's a different line, Tony.
Seriously, there is now an opportunity for well-run football clubs to actually get into the top six because the television money is so vast. They can get a huge revenue, and it's already well Manchester City buying people £40-odd million and paying huge wages. Mm-hmm. But if they don't come off, there are real problems because A, you can't sell them on because of the wages. And B, the financial fair play restrictions now mean that you're curtailed by your revenue.
And that's the reason we like having you on board, to actually put that dose of reality in there. Ian, what's your prediction? What's your prediction for the Reading-Arsenal game?
I think Arsenal win. They're too good. Oh. I'm sorry.
No, I know.
All right. Look, if it makes you happier, Reading 4-0.
I think we know it's going to be a loss, but I am hoping that we do.
Reading are a small club by comparison, but the supporters are going to get a day out that they'll remember the rest of their lives. And if the players give 100%, which they will do, there's something to get out of it, you know.
Exactly.
You may nick it, you never know. Most people want to see Arsenal Liverpool in the final, don't they?
Yeah. I think that would be a really interesting match to watch as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Gerrard's birthday. Okay, no time to even feature last night's Cameron Tilbury musical selection, because we need to head off to horse racing commentator and actor extraordinaire Malcolm Tomlinson. So we're going to be speaking with Malcolm in a few moments. Then Emma will be leaving us. Linda Papadopoulos will hopefully be joining us to talk about Objects of Love and so on. William Sitwell will be with us, and so will the show director for the NEHS Harrogate Springflower Show for 2015. That would be Nick Smith. But the last two questions need to be asked. Go, Emma.
Of course. Have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
Short but sweet, Emma. And good luck at Wembley.
Thank you very much. I'm not playing, but you know. And will you be joining
us
again
next
week?
The chance you've got.
Yeah. Will you be joining us again next weekend?
I hope so.
Absolutely. Yeah. There we are. And for Charlotte Fortune, who listened in last night and claimed that we only played 20 seconds of her tune, which is, of course, Superheroes by Michael White and The Appearance featuring Charlotte Fortune. I'll say that again. Superheroes by Michael White and The Appearance featuring Charlotte Fortune, and not, as we referred to it last night, by basically talking about Boner Eyes, which is actually the record label. It's very confusing. Anyway, there we are. Got the right title. Charlotte will be with us on Wednesday. This is The Tune. Enjoy, Ian. Speak next week. I think, Emma, we played a lot more than 20 seconds there.
Definitely.
And I think we played a lot more than 20 seconds last night.
I think we did.
Yeah, so we'll play even more next Wednesday when Charlotte Fortune joins us on the show. It's such a difference, of course, from her previous work. That's very, very exciting. But then again, you know, that's Charlotte Fortune for you. I don't think she's as yet had the delights of having a jingle done for her by Malcolm Tomlinson as yet, which is the ultimate sort of kudos of all sorts of things. But on a golf course somewhere in the north of England, who can we actually say hello to this morning but, yes, the legend that is Malcolm Tomlinson. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
I'm extremely well, thank you, Alex. Good to join you.
Likewise, I'm delighted to have you, because it's been far too long since you were last with us, actually. In fact, you haven't been in the studio for quite some time, but obviously you are on good duty over the weekend because you're on a BBC Radio 5 Live's top commentators, in fact, the premier commentator, let's be honest, for the Grand National. And despite the fact that brave races were run all the way, and nobody's sort of tip or thing came through, I was hopeful that Jessica Ward, who actually had predicted Lord Windermere, would have been here to actually have sort of, you know, been challenged.
Yeah, it's just a bit of an equine expert in... I mean, they
obviously
have,
not with us.
They have horses in New Zealand, so maybe she knows a little bit. But yeah, I'm not particularly a person who's known to know much about the racing or anything horsey, to be honest. But I have a lot of friends who are very interested in it, so I'd like to know a lot more about it, really.
Well, it was a great event, but AP McCoy didn't actually win.
I know, I did see that.
But methinks, actually, Malcolm, maybe with our ace director, Graham Harper, we should actually sort of take Emma Tinson, our Surrey gal, along to join us on one of your horse racing commentaries. What do you think? Would you be up for that, Malcolm?
Well, I think if Emma's a thorough gal, she sounds like she should be in the horsey set to me. I mean, yeah, absolutely. That would be very welcome. Yeah, come along.
So yeah, definitely. You can educate me on all things horsey.
We will sort out a horse racing event from that point of view. Meanwhile, of course, life continues its own way. Golf, Malcolm, is this a new sport you're turning your hand to? Or is it something you decided to actually negotiate? Or why do we find you on a golf course? I know, obviously, this is actually quite late for your average golfer, too, because they're normally on by about 6 a.m. So,
When I spoke to you the other day, Alex, I'd completely forgotten when we had that chat. At Aintree that I'd agreed to play a little charity golf tournament this morning.
Oh.
And so I when I got your message, I thought, ah, yes, Alex is calling me this morning. So I just had a word with the powers that be, and they said, that's okay, Mark, and we'll get someone to take your shots whilst you do your interview.
Surely that's cheating. I mean, I know it's for charity, but you've got to take it fairly seriously.
I think we should. Which charity? How can people help this? How can people support the whole thing? Is it too late? What's going on? Go and spread the word.
Oh, bless. Well, that's very kind of you. No, it's actually for racing welfare. It's a charity. You probably remember a few years ago, Alex, I rode in that charity race at Newmarket.
We were there.
You were there. You covered the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was for racing welfare, a society that looks after retired racehorses. Yeah. And so we were just doing a little bit for that this morning. And look, anybody who wants to, chip in a little bit towards racing welfare or the welfare of retired racehorses is more than welcome.
Which makes perfect sense. So looking back at the Grand National, overall a success, did you feel? I mean, it was nice to see that for once they actually all started at the right time and didn't have to be called back.
Yeah, the starts have been a complete mess, haven't they, in recent times. But they've got this new starting procedure, Alex, now, where they have to basically walk away from the tape first and then walk back in instead of coming in at a jig-jog. And it all seemed to work, really well on Saturday. But, yeah, the race was a great success. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. Obviously, there's a lot of interest with Tony McCoy going for, his victory in his final Grand National. And, of course, there was a young lady called Nina Carberry riding, a horse called First Lieutenant, and she had a really good chance, and it's not that far away, I don't think, until a lady professional rider rides the winner of the Grand National, and that would have been a massive story as well. So there's lots of interest in the race, and they all came back safely, which was a big plus.
Very much so. I think there was a concern when Balthazar kind of had a fall, but always well from that point of view, so good news there. I know it was raised that people were concerned about the welfare. In fact, Jessica had mentioned in an interview that some of her flatmates were concerned about the horse welfare issues. So, yeah. But much like the weather in Lincoln today, it was rather cloudy that actually did the business, except it wasn't cloudy, it was a cloudy thing. Nice to see that, not just once, but twice, consecutive years. Quite a little story in itself there for winning stuff. Malcolm, time is so tight, and I think obviously heading up to the whole thing, we'll do an extended version in later times. Obviously, Emma has to leave us as well, but Emma, last two questions for Malcolm Tomlinson, please.
Yes, of course. Malcolm, have you enjoyed your time on the midweek drive with us this morning?
It's been short and sweet, Emma, but I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Fantastic. And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
Say the word.
I think that'll be in the very near future. But meanwhile, Malcolm, you might know that Phil Leonis, of course, our good friendly director from Los Angeles, actually comprised a little ident for Emma, and I think you should cast your creative ear over these 20 seconds of magic and wonderment.
To many people, the letters ET signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For midweek drive aficionados, E.T. will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson.
See the accent he put on Surrey legend.
Surrey. I like it.
But obviously, you are the professional in this sort of routine, Malcolm. We need to get into the studio to do some more voices. We'll get those things sorted through. Courtney Dickinson was last night's choice from Cameron Tilbury, of course, over in Nashville. Young forever. Well, we are, and we will remain forever young. That's it. We're out of here for the moment. News coming up from the Sky News Centre. And then Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist, talking about objects of love.